Welcome to the Citizens for Health radio show on Building Fortunes Radio with your hosts Jim Turner and Peter Mingles. Make sure you check us out by clicking on the Citizens for Health radio show link on buildingfortunesradio.com. That's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. Citizens for Health provides over 100,000 supporters with consumer news, action alerts, and opportunities to take action. For nearly two decades, Citizens for Health has been a nonprofit pioneer in the natural health freedom movement. The Citizens for Health Education Foundation offers tools to inform the public of health issues and educate and influence policymakers. Jim Turner is here to spread the word about some of the most interesting topics that can affect your world, from the dangers of mislabeled or dangerous products to the questions and concerns of vaccines. You'll want to listen to Jim as he speaks on behalf of Citizens for Health. And now, on to our show with Jim Turner and Peter Mingles. Take it away, Peter.
Hello, everyone. Peter Mingles here. You're listening to us live on Building Fortunes Radio. That's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. If you dialed into the 347-237-4097 number, you can hear us live if you're dialing in on a phone or a device that acts like a phone. If you're listening in live, you might have gone to buildingfortunesradio.com/live. My name is Peter Mingles. We have a great guest host today on his own radio show with us. It's the Citizens for Health radio show. Jim Turner's been working with us for a long time. It's been maybe almost 5 or 6 years. I don't remember when we first got started in 2013. So whatever that is, almost 5 years, moving into, our sixth after we're done with this one. We've been doing these radio shows whenever Jim Turner's in town and available or out of town and available, where he brings us up to date on some really cool things that are happening that you probably want to know about. I just want to bring our listening audience up to some of the things we've been working on that is tied into the stuff that Jim's doing relative to getting the word out. Is we built a skill for Amazon Echo devices. So if you have one of those Amazon Echo devices, you can say, Alexa, play Building Fortunes Radio, and you'll be able to hear our Building Fortunes Radio segments, and this will be one of the ones that you'll be able to listen to. So no matter where you are, whether you're on a phone or you're on the computer or now you're on your smart speaker, you'll be able to listen to the previous things in our system. Now, I'm chuckling just a little bit because I have those little devices all over my home, and what I did was I didn't close my door, but I muted out my one line, so when I said her name, play Building Fortunes Radio, she is playing on another speaker inside my house. So that's a cool thing. So we're always doing some great things to be able to spread the word, and we want you to do the same. If you go to citizensforhealth.org, just citizens.org. Go to citizens.org, sign up for the newsletter, be on the action alert, tell your friends to do the same thing. There's a whole bunch of things if you're into health, nutrition, politics, living a life, you know, wanting your rights, all those types of things, you want to get the newsletter. So go to citizens.org, sign up for the newsletter, take advantage of some of the action alerts that Jim Turner and his organization, Citizens for Health, has. And I'm going to be quiet as Jim tells you a little bit more about some of the things that's going on in his world. So, Jim, thanks for being here.
Well, thanks a lot, Peter. I always like these programs. I'm in Washington today, and generally that's when we do the program is when I'm in Washington, although we have done some from time to time from on the road. Today, I was going to start with the fact that we did last week, or this week actually, we put out an action alert on Citizens' site and to our members. We put out a statement about the issue of Wi-Fi, EMF, that's wireless communications or electromagnetic fields, or the issue of health and whether or not the FCC has in fact provided the kind of health regulation that we need for those uses, EMF uses. That would be, for example, cell phones, smart meters in the electrical company, all the cell towers that are around. These are all creating an escalating amount of electromagnetic fields around us, and it's a very tricky issue. This past week, Senator Blumenthal from Connecticut issued held a press release, and on our website, you can find the link to the press conference, the press conference. And you can find a link to his press conference. And basically, he's asking the SEC to provide the evidence that they have in fact determined that the EMF is safe. The fact of the matter is that they haven't. They don't have any biological scientific competence at the FCC. That's not their job. So they tend to turn their attention for safety over to something like the FDA. The FDA has asked the National Toxicology Program to do a study of EMF, which they started in 1999, and the health effects of EMF. And they did find, released this year, just a couple months ago, they released a study, that is, the National Toxicology Program released a study indicating that when EMF was studied under proper laboratory conditions, the it created cancerous tumors in animal hearts and also raised some other safety questions. Senator Blumenthal is asking the FCC to please give him all the evidence that they have for why the study from NTP, for example, is not accurate, and what they're saying is. They don't have such information, and that's what I think will be shown as they make their answers. The answers he asked for by, I think it was December 17th. So by December 17th, we should know what the FCC has or that they haven't answered or whatever they figure out on how to deal with this. I want to just give you a little sense of what we're dealing with, and this is something that you call that we know of as 5G. You'll see 5G talked about in the media and so forth. And that stands for fifth generation. It's the fifth generation of Wi-Fi communications. The answer, by the way, to solving the problem that it presents is to go to fiber optics in your home and in your business. Fiber optics, and you can get fiber optics here in D.C. Files has it, and I think in whatever community you're in, find out who has done the who's put the fiber optics in and who's selling it, and it's there, and that eliminates the vast proportion of the EMF Wi-Fi problems that come from the communication system. But let me go back to what we're talking about here. If 5G is allowed to roll out, and that's fifth generation, and 5G is a advertising slogan created by an agency here in Washington, this thing look like something that's special. Basically, the vast majority of things that you will be able to do on 5G, you could do on 4G. One of the things you can't do is get real-time downloaded movies on your cell phone. And the question is, do we want to take the risk of what is offered by 5G in order to get that particular benefit? Because you could download the movie before you went out, and then you could watch it walking along right off your device. But in any case, what we're dealing with is a situation where, if you recall, way back in the 60s, the Russians beamed electromagnetic energy onto the American embassy in Moscow. And there were a lot of problems with that, and it got to be a huge international issue. And by the way, that issue is repeating itself now with the American embassy in Cuba. And it was basically focusing the electromagnetic waves onto the embassy. Well, if you let 5G unfold the way it's being proposed right now, that's the fifth generation, you will end up with maybe projected out something like five times as much microwave frequency beamed onto your house by 5G as was beamed onto the Russian embassy. There's a lot of controversy about whether or not you could blame all the health problems that were going on in the embassy and both in Moscow and in Cuba. Today in Cuba and Moscow in the 60s, a whole lot of controversy about whether you could blame the health problems that were in those embassies on the EMF microwave frequencies that were being beamed onto them. But it is a fact that three of the ambassadors that were there at the time, over several years that it was there, died prematurely of cancer. One of them said, by the way, that he was going to protect himself by moving his desk away from the window. But that did not recognize that the microwave frequencies go through the wall as well as the window. What Senator Blumenthal is saying is, let's see what the FCC has to say that we aren't actually facing serious problems. What we're saying is we already have evidence that the FCC does not look at that says there are serious problems. And so we're saying, everybody sign up for fiber optics to carry your communications into your home. Download movies if you want to watch them on your phone. And what 5G basically does, it's a advertising slogan to cover up the fact that the telecommunications companies are slipping into the government-owned frequencies and buying access to the narrow, short frequency waves to broadcast through. This is putting a double or triple load on the Wi-Fi world compared to what we currently have. And the tragedy of all of this is that with planning and care, you could create everything that 5G creates, or virtually everything, by using various kinds of wired or laser communicating systems to go from point to point. Our EMF Wi-Fi structure just blasts the stuff out into the atmosphere, and then you pick it up, and basically 90% of it is wasted. If you were to focus it through wires or focus it through lasers, you could save 90%, use 90% of it, and waste 5% of it, cut down the amount of problems for health, cut down the security dangers that are created by the current system, that's national security dangers, limit the amount of access to privacy that is created by the way it's structured right now. But unfortunately, the way that the communications industry has gone about this, they have gone for very quick and very massive profits to the individuals who own them, and particularly the specific individuals that create these companies. And they've done so at the expense of national security, at the expense of privacy, and at the expense of human health. In addition, in order to use some of these devices using this technology, such as the smart meters on your home, they've also broken through on things such as trespass. No longer, it is a trespass now if they're going to broadcast more frequently than every 15 minutes. It's a trespass. But more than 15 minutes, they're saying, so far, they're not saying it's a trespass, or at least it's not an unreasonable trespass. Now, what I'm saying is there's a whole package of events coming along which has been given the slogan name of 5G, which means fifth generation, and they've brought this thing about in a way that is reaping huge amounts of money into the hands of the owners of these companies, and they're buying that basically by selling the privacy, the national security, the health, and the property integrity of individuals in this country. And as I say, the tragedy is that this could all be avoided. We could get everything that we want from 5G by taking the time and putting the money into it to create a new generation of communications that would, in fact, be safe, secure, private, and not require trespassing. We're kind of pointing in the direction of calling it seventh generation. If we go to the seventh generation, we can do as the Native Americans did originally and have a seventh generation set of thoughts and come up with a system that could actually create a good communicating system with all of the current and many more benefits for individuals, with the money being used to create a sound infrastructure rather than going into the pockets of people who are skimming it off the top as they're doing right now. So so Citizens put out a press release about Senator Blumenthal's. We published a press release from another group about Senator Blumenthal's activities in this area, and some congressmen are beginning to write in support. Some other senators are being asked to support it, and the idea is to get some momentum going in the Congress to take hearings to look into what in fact is going on here. It's very clear that the generation of entrepreneurial wunderkinds that created what we now have as our communication system did not think carefully about the social implications, so that we have huge problems about privacy, huge problems about inappropriate material online, huge problems about national security as things are leaked and people are hacked, huge problems about our records about money. Marriott just announced that they lost 500 million records. They announced that this week. What we've got is a bunch of basically they were kids for the most part who sat down and made up this whole idea of the way that we're going to communicate with no oversight, no involvement. Now, unfortunately, government's oversight has never been very good and often inhibits new things, and so it has to be looked at pretty carefully as well. But no oversight, no real serious consideration from the actual consumers, and we've got ourselves in a mess. And now what they're saying, and by the way, they recognize it as a mess because their income started declining from 4G. That's the main reason they went to 5G. And so they're out there working their way through stuff to save their bacon in all fronts socially. And what we should do is be sure that as we go to 5, 6, and 7G, we do so with, as those generations unfold, we do it participation of the people in this country and worldwide, for that matter, to make this new, wonderful, emerging communication structure that we're dealing with be one that is safe, efficient, useful, and valuable, opposed to one for everyone, as opposed to one that puts a whole bunch of money in the pockets of a few individuals at the expense of the health, safety, national security, and property integrity of the public. So that's what Citizens has launched in part of this week, and this should and is developing to be quite a nationwide movement. So that's my first subject for today. Any questions
Perfect.
There, Peter?
No questions. Of course, I think the I've always been a part of the idea of doing a little bit of research on my own. So you start to research 5G on the Internet, and you'll find all the conspiracies as well as everything that's going on. So the challenges that I have with the 5G is the number of little mini antennas that are going to be all over the place. They'll literally be all over the place. And for that part, there's a whole bunch of issues you can do when you have a whole bunch of antennas all over the place with these devices that actually broadcast this product. So that's the problem that I have with it as well, for all the reasons that could happen. National security is one of those issues, I'm sure, that is blended into this too, because I'm sure the government wants to have all these little antennas all over the place to be able to broadcast whatever they need to in times of need. So I don't know. There's probably an upside to that and probably a downside to that as well. But if you look on the Internet,
you'll find... the little tiny antennas are exactly the issue. That is exactly the issue, and they're going to drop millions of them into every neighborhood around the country. And they aren't necessary. They are not needed to do this. To do what we're doing. That is, any national security that comes from that can come by using a wired and lasered system that does point-to-point communications precisely rather than blowing Wi-Fi out into the community in an undisciplined and unrestrained manner. But those little antennas are the key, and they'll start showing up in your neighborhood pretty soon if we don't take the actions to stop them. And
it'll be all over the place. Lots of people are going to be making money and installing little teeny-weeny antennas, so there's going to be a lot of pressure.
That's right.
Trying to fight, the fight against them. Okay,
yep, it's
great information.
It's going to be a big one.
Yep, and it's going to be a tough one. This one's going to be hard to reverse because it's kind of like already out, if you will. So
I'm not sure of that. It's really funny. Every time an authority tries to control things, putting something physical in people's neighborhoods, problems occur. It was really interesting. The American Revolution kicked off by something called the Stamp Act. Big mistake by the British, because they said you had to put a stamp on any legal document. And then they shipped the stamps over to warehouses in the colonies, and then all the people in the colonies had to go buy these stamps, and that's how they were going to make money and put them on documents. Instead, what the colonists did is go burn down the warehouses. Well, things are I'm not trying to be a fearmonger here, but there are already people who are going around taking physical action against the antennas that are showing up in their neighborhoods. When you start putting things in people's neighborhoods, they can get very, very upset. And I don't think the industry has really thought that through.
That's probably true. There's probably a lot of guys that have some guns or some drones or some stones, and they could probably take those little suckers out or whatever they might be. So that's a very valid point, because there's a lot more people becoming aware and a lot more of the conspiracy people that are probably becoming a little bit more active. So, yeah, they're in for a fight. They're in for a fight. You know,
My citizen strategy is always to take those fights into the courts or into the Congress, into the administration as much as possible, and create a situation where the system can actually address the problem. Now, you know, it's been a very big habit of the system to push these things under the rug, but I don't think they can do that as well now as they used to be able to. So I think we're going to see a huge, big uptick on this issue.
That's true, yeah, because when you put a little device, when you put something like that that's unprotected, because they're not going to have security guards next to each one of these things, it's going to be interesting to see what the minority of the public that wants to take some action are going to do. Okay, what's the next topic? Great topic, by the way. What's the next one?
Well, I did want to give, we have been talking over the last few shows about the homeopathy situation, and I do want to drop something in there, because we are about to put another item out on Citizens about homeopathy. And what we have going there is a situation where the FDA proposed a guidance last December, and Americans for Homeopathy Choice, which Citizens is supporting strongly in its campaign, actually stepped up and filed a petition designed to stop the guidance that would have really crippled homeopathy and create regulations that would preserve homeopathy. The crippling of homeopathy by the regulation was very strange, because the FDA basically announced that it was no longer going to regulate. They basically repealed the guidance that they had before that set up the rules for regulating the quality and information that was put out about homeopathy. They repealed that and put into place a new regulation which said they would make homeopathy products basically go through the new drug application process. That application process takes a minimum of $100 million, maybe more dollars, to get a substance through that process, and that's not going to happen with homeopathy. No matter how much you demand that it happen, it's not going to happen. And that would mean that the public was deprived of the homeopathic remedies. So the FDA proposed that last December. In July, Americans for Homeopathy Choice put a petition into the FDA saying, let's preserve the regulations that were in existence before, make them be a regulation, and continue the development of homeopathy under the proper supervision of FDA from the standpoint of the safety issues that may or may not exist, safety manufacturing and labeling issues, but create an advisory group that would set up the principles for how homeopathic products become recognized as homeopathic. The basic premise here is that the system FDA uses was set up to manage intrinsically unsafe chemicals, which are used as drugs, and the premise was that even though they are intrinsically unsafe, they may also have features that are helpful for health. Therefore, let's do a system that evaluates the risks versus the benefits. And if the benefits outweigh the risks, then we can go forward and allow that product to be on the market. But since it's intrinsically unsafe, and hundreds of products go through this process, and only a few of them actually get out of it, and that's a good thing. On the other hand, homeopathy is intrinsically safe. There's nothing in 200 years of use, there's not been a single reported instance of a homeopathic product causing any kind of death or disability. And there are reasons for that. It's a minute dose, if it's even a dose, of a substance. The attackers of homeopathy say it can't possibly work because there's nothing there. So people say, but I did what the homeopathic doctor, many of whom, if not most, are trained physicians from major medical schools like Harvard and Cornell and so forth, and they're all over the country, hundreds of them. And I take the remedy and my stuff gets better. So why are you telling me that it can't work? So then the critics go around and say, yes, but it's unsafe. This thing that they say doesn't work because there's nothing there is unsafe. Now, they know they can't make the argument that it's unsafe because of what it contains. So they say it's unsafe because you choose to take a product that doesn't have anything in it instead of one of our chemicals, which we've already gone through the FDA, and it says that our chemical, the benefits of our chemical outweigh the risks. But there are millions of people using homeopathic remedies. FDA estimates the number to be in the U.S. being in excess of 6 million people at this point. The market itself is a $3 billion market, and the idea is to stamp it out. But the stamping it out has two fallacious arguments behind it, and these need to be resisted. And that's what the petition from the Americans for Homeopathic Choice has presented to the FDA, and they're supposed to respond in some way by the either this month or early January, sometime in January. Usually they say we'll have to take another 6 months when these petitions are put in, and we'll see if that's what they say. But in any case, we will put out sometime in the next week another announcement through Citizens for Health letting people know about this issue. And I would suggest your people that are listening and people that see the website and the action alerts, keep alert on these two issues. We've got a couple of others that are coming along that we'll talk about in the future weeks, but we're talking about biodynamic farming as a very important aspect to reducing the amount of carbon in the air. That's a very important another conversation to have. And we want to underscore, very, very carefully underscore, that what Citizens talks about and what the groups I work with talk about are preserving the choice for American consumers, conserving their choices, allow them to have some other way of communicating besides the kind of Wi-Fi that's being pushed down our throats and pushed into our homes. We are saying leave open the option of choosing homeopathy if people want to do that. That's a very, very important. And we're saying encourage people to, if they would like to, start biodynamic farming, because that will, however many people do that, will help contribute to lowering the carbon emissions in the air. And so those are all things that we're talking about, and we have to, as I started way back in 1968 with Ralph Nader, we started there, and he continues to say, that and I agree that we have to shape up the regulators because they are not really doing their job, and that's particularly true these days. And that job needs to be clarified and focused and done properly. And we need consumers to be able to have marketplace choice so that they can be empowered to make individual decisions for their well-being that will contribute to decisions for the entire society. That's the premise of Citizens for Health and the groups that we support. So those are my reports for this week.
Great information, excellent information. So if people want to know more, they can go to buildingfortunesradio.com, find the radio shows we've done previously for Citizens. Jim gives great explanations, including a whole bunch of bonus material all the time when we do our radio show. So even though you might think it's an older radio show, there's probably some great information as far as education in there that you could use and have a better way of understanding, because I love the way he explains things. And if you go to citizens.org directly, you can sign up for the newsletter. Sign up for the newsletter, you get those action alerts I'm sharing with you. When you start to see those action alerts come in, you'll say, oh my gosh, I had no idea that was going on. So you want to share with other people as well. And for all of our home-based business people that have connections to lots of other people as well, because many of you are really social media connected type of people. Make sure you share this stuff with your friends, whether it's the radio show or the website, because you can get the word out to be able to help a whole bunch of things that Jim and the organizations that he works with work with as well. So go to citizens.org. Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to say these home-built, home-run businesses are a crucial part of getting the ideas that will actually help people out and having them have access to it. It's an extraordinarily important part of the whole marketplace, economic, public policy picture. The consumer voice, which comes through these businesses, are, I think, a direct partner with the small business voice. And the small business voice is the one that creates the jobs, creates the innovations, really drives the economy. When they get into these large multinational corporations, you're in a situation where they are governments. They're de facto governments, and they operate like governments, not like businesses. But it's these small, and among them, these home-based businesses that are crucial to moving these ideas forward. So I just wanted to drop that in there on this conversation as well.
Absolutely. Yep. And the power that you guys have with your social media puts forces and pressure on these politicians that they have no choice. They have to start to do something because you guys are pretty vocal. So when you do the stuff that you do and their names start showing up on different platforms and all those types of issues, those are real concerns of theirs. They can't hide it anymore. They used to be able to maybe take the letters that you'd write and push them under the carpet or maybe never read them at all. But now, with everything that goes on, it's pretty amazing, Jim, the stuff that the power of the people can do. It's kind
Absolutely.
Of it brightens my heart, if you will, warms my heart a little bit, because there's been lots of times where I just said, what's the point? I mean, it's going to happen anyway, and no matter what I do as a person, it's not going to mean a difference. But now with the pressures of social media and all the outlets that are coming out because Facebook's falling apart and all those types of issues that are going on out there, there's a lot more people that are kind of becoming aware for these types of issues. Okay, so we're done. Jim, thanks very much for being
Alrighty,
here.
All righty. Thanks, Peter. And next
Thank
week
you.
We'll do some more of this. Thanks.
Next week. Sounds
bye.
Good. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye.
You've been listening to the Citizens for Health radio show, brought to you by Citizens for Health on buildingfortunesradio.com with Jim Turner and Peter Mingles. Thanks for listening. For nearly two decades, Citizens for Health has been a nonprofit pioneer in the natural health freedom movement. Go to www.citizens.org to learn more and always listen in to Building Fortunes Radio, where our special host, Jim Turner, shares crucial information about many of the most important issues that affect your world. Citizens for Health provides over 100,000 supporters with consumer news, action alerts, and opportunities to take action. So listen in, get involved, and help spread the word. Be sure to check out the buildingfortunesradio.com website to hear more Citizens for Health segments with Jim Turner and Peter Mingle. And read about what's new on www.citizens.org. It's been our privilege to have you listen in. Jim Turner, Peter, and I want to say thanks for listening and ask you to go spread the word. Tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world.